This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
Wonderful that is indeed. Our studio audience is giving a big round of applause there, because my special guest on Bent Notes tonight is a Ballarat-based vocalist and composer who's described as having a raw and honest approach to jazz, who takes a great delight in experimentation, improvisation, and associated risk when approaching any song. And she's taken the risk tonight of singing live in studio here to introduce us to this brief chat. It's my pleasure to welcome to Bent Notes studio here at Joy 94.9, Paige Duggan. Welcome.
Thank you for having me back.
Oh, it's always our pleasure to have you in studio, Paige. I haven't had the pleasure of speaking to you in studio. It's been Paul to date.
Yeah, that's right. So it's nice to mix it up.
It is indeed nice. And we should also say a very big round of applause. Here's the applause for Craig. Craig Fermanis has come in to accompany you tonight on that beautiful guitar.
I know, I'm so lucky.
You are very lucky indeed. Now, risk.
Yes.
It's not something that you usually hear when discussing music. It's usually related to a discussion of investment or occupational health and safety and perhaps some other dangerous form of performance art. What are the risks that you associated with jazz, and what is your risk minimisation strategy?
I suppose the risks that I associate with jazz are really around improvisation. So I suppose, like Kimber, I'm big on every time I perform a song, doing it differently. I sort of feel like if I've done it the same as I have before, then I sort of haven't done it properly.
Each time the first time.
Yes, that's right. That's sort of where my risk taking mostly lies. And the other thing is, I'm quite sleep deprived as a mum and stuff, so I don't remember what I did in the past. I have to make it up new every time, which is, you know, it's exciting and it keeps me on my toes and keeps me thinking, and it's great.
Keeps your musos wondering what you're going
to
do next.
That's right. I love to keep everyone on their toes, and they do it back to me as well.
So in going into sing something and going in with a blank mind, so to speak, how do you ensure that what you have coming out is something that you're happy with? Do you not know until it eventuates?
I don't know until it eventuates, and I think sometimes even then I'm probably not always 100% happy. It's a journey. I think, like all art, if you were satisfied the first time, why would you continue doing it? It's about always trying to achieve and get better and better and better. That's part of what I love about it as well, is the journey that you take every time. And
you could almost write a risk assessment, couldn't you?
I'm a bit afraid to do that, I think.
It could be a thesis.
Yeah, that's right. Or maybe I'll just write a song about risk or something.
I like the idea. Now, what is the value to your music, or to anyone's music, in taking that risk? Why is it important?
I think it creates new ideas. It also allows you to, as an artist, to be more, you know, to develop yourself as an artist. And I think also it's more interesting for an audience if you are continuing to evolve all the time. And it's more emotional. You can have a more emotional connection with the song and also with the audience if you're continuing to always evolve the things you do.
Is that emotional connection to the song something that does help when you're taking the risk?
I think so. And it also helps you to have an emotional connection to the song, because you are forced to be invested in the song when you are taking lots of risk.
How do you get that emotional attachment, which is really, I think, a really thorough knowledge of what the song is?
I'm pretty careful in selecting the songs that I want to do. So I flick through books and churn through charts and things, and make sure that the songs I'm choosing are ones that I really am connected to. And even at gigs, often we don't choose songs until we're in the moment we have to choose the next song. I don't often have set lists unless it's a particularly important gig like Paris Cat or Dizzy's. I'll have a set list, but even then I may only choose the songs that night or that day, so that I make sure that I really do want to sing that song on that day.
I've had a couple of guests in the last month, being Jackie Bornstein and Greg Arthur. I've been speaking with them, and they've both said that there are songs in the songbook that they will not sing because they don't feel an emotional, essentially an emotional attachment to mm-hmm. those songs. Are there songs in the songbook that you will look at and say, no, I will not sing that because I don't have any sense of attachment?
I think if it's been done too many times in sort of a cliche or corny manner, I might be a little bit less likely to choose that song. And so I want songs that just lyrically and melodically already have some sort of interesting nature to them or emotional component to them. I don't really want to choose something that's too airy-fairy necessarily. Though I do love singing something like L-O-V-E. I can really get into that and have a lot of fun, you know, because being joyful is an emotion as well, as much as like being sad or thoughtful or reflective as well. So, you know, I can still have the full spectrum of emotions. But, yeah, I try not to choose things that I feel a bit naff when I'm choosing songs. But I like to constantly choose new songs. I get sick of things as well. Yeah, because you find yourself falling into the old trap of how you sing it. Once you do start singing things quite a few times, sometimes you do find yourself repeating yourself a little bit, and I'm not such a big fan of that.
Is that a risk when you have a preset playlist that you've used once or twice or three times of just going back to it purely because it's easy to go back to something you've already written, but then you fall into the same traps of not only using the same playlist but then singing them the same
way. Little licks and things. Yeah, that's right. And that's why I really like it when I get to play with people like Craig, who, you know, will do different things, and my guitarist back in Ballarat, you know, he's on the same page with me. We like to mix things up, and we might change the speed of a song or the feel of a song, or he'll just go to on purpose just to throw me, you know, a different section or something towards the end. He'll go back to the B or something, so I have to stay on my toes and come up with something new and creative to, you know, stay on top of the song.
Hopefully he gets back there and gives you enough time to recognise that he's got there.
That's right.
Where did your love of music come from? Or love of jazz, first off?
Well, one of my brothers, he's a little bit older than me, a couple of years older, and he used to listen to jazz as a child, and so he introduced it to me initially, really. Though my dad likes to say that he was the one who introduced it to my brother Doc, because he would play jazz overnight while we were sleeping, apparently.
Really?
I didn't know that, but apparently that is the case.
So it does work.
Apparently.
I've often wondered about that.
Yeah. Both my parents are music teachers, so we always had music in the house, and I learnt instruments from an early age.
How many instruments do you play?
These days I mostly focus on singing and guitar and a bit of piano. But I originally started on violin when I was 4, and so I did that until I was 16. And then when I was at high school out in Dalesford, I started playing trumpet in year 8. And then two really fantastic teachers while I was there who just let me play any instrument. So I just played constantly any instrument I could get my hands on in high school. And I almost went and studied jazz when I left school, and it was a toss-up between going and doing jazz or visual arts, and I decided to do visual arts instead. So it took me a little bit longer to get back on the jazz path than perhaps I would have liked, but we're here now, so.
Still a creative activity, though.
That's right, and I think it, you know, it's another form of arts. So, you know, it's encouraging you to think outside the square and take risks. And there's that saying, I think it's something like choosing chance or chance chooses or something like that. You know, like when you take a chance, you are making a conscious choice to make that decision to take a chance. So that sort of comes through in my music as well. It's why if I hit, you know, 99% good notes at a gig and then 1% that's not so good, well, that was good odds and it was worth taking that risk. You know, it's worth those chances when you're performing and in any art. That's how you actually achieve and grow and create new things.
You've just talked about chances, which gets back to that risk. It's a big circle, the risk circle.
Yes.
So growing up, you introduced, therefore, to jazz through your parents and, mm-hmm. or your father and your brother. Was there other musical styles in your upbringing?
Yeah, so my mum is a classical singer, a soprano, and it was sort of funny when we were kids. We lived in a country town called Kingston, which is a population of just a couple hundred, and we lived in a church. My parents still live there, so it's a converted church, big open space, and I would walk a few hundred metres up to the primary school or down to the bus stop, and I could hear my mum in the morning doing morning exercises. I thought it was completely normal, but our neighbours must have thought we were bonkers, because they were just, she's constantly the soprano stuff going on. Yeah, and my dad actually, he's built a pipe organ in the house now, so they're fully fledged awesome eccentric, so they're both into sort of the classical sort of music. And
but I suppose if the house is an old church, the pipe organ would fit beautifully.
It is, and it's beautiful. He's restored it amazingly, so
he hasn't built it from scratch. He's just
restored an old one. He bought one and then restored it himself.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What an activity to take on.
It is.
But the results must be amazing.
It is. It's really beautiful and he's always tinkering with it. It's never quite finished. He's always got a little bit more to do on it all the time.
Always the way, though, isn't it? Things never quite get finished. Whether yes. you're a painter, painting doesn't get finished. A carpenter, the house doesn't quite get finished. It always goes that way. All that music. Did you all get together and play as a family, as a family band, so to speak?
The closest thing really was my brother and I. So Doc, he is a piano player, so he used to get me to sing along while he was practicing his piano. So he'd play Gershwin and all sorts of things like that. So that's where I sort of first started singing a bit of jazz and developed a love for the actual singing of it. But that was sort of it. I mean, we were all encouraged to do music, but we didn't really play together so much other than my brother and I having a, you know, tinkle on the weekend.
When did you realise that jazz was going to be it for you?
I think when I was a child and Doc introduced me to the jazz. I loved it then and I would dream of being a jazz singer. That's what I always wanted to do. And, you know, life takes its turns and I didn't quite follow that path and I actually was more into songwriting and other genres of music. And it wasn't until I was only a few years ago, I've only been doing jazz sort of as my main musical activity for the last 3 years or so, 3 or 4 years. Yeah, it was a long journey to get there, but I knew from a very early age that was really my dream.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
On Joy 94.9, you are listening to Bent Notes, where my special guest is Ballarat-based vocalist and composer, Paige Duggan. Paige, some beautiful music you are producing here in the studio.
Thanks.
Is it a risk to do this?
I think so. Yes, well, I mean, Craig and I, we don't play together very often. We've only had one real gig together and a few radio shows, and so we haven't really rehearsed or anything. That's another risk.
So, Craig, now I know your microphone's nowhere near you, but you're Paige's Melbourne go-to guitarist.
I guess so, yeah.
Well, thank you for coming in tonight, Craig. Appreciate that. Now, apart from jazz, I read on your bio hip-hop, blues, funk, with the Paige 5, I gather yes. that might be your own group,
yeah,
and some choral work.
Yeah, I've done so much different musical stuff over the years. I think that's part of why I'm cool taking risks, because I've done some pretty out there stuff. And when you live in a community like Ballarat, where you're called upon by all different sorts of people, all different genres, you know, it's a really strong artistic community. You know, it pays to be able to just go out there and try new things, really. So that's what I do.
The only thing that's not here is musical theatre.
I haven't done any musical theatre since high school. I did do some musical theatre.
So you have actually done some?
Yeah, I didn't. I haven't put it in my bio. I'll update it.
I'll just add it to my list here. So were these other musical styles things that you've gone through, or are they still things that you hold just in a different portion of your life?
I still definitely do the choral stuff. So I've been in the Sweet Mona's Choir in Ballarat, which for people who know choirs is quite a well-recognised choir in the state or the country. So I've been in that for 10 years. And with my mother she's a creative director of several choirs in Ballarat, including the Ballarat Choral Society, I get called upon occasionally to join her for that. And just unusual choral projects and things I still get called on. I'm doing one later this year. I did the 24-hour project that came to Ballarat a year or two ago.
Is that 24 hours of choral work?
No, it was the 24-hour. It was like the one they had in Melbourne where there was something on every hour and it was different artistic things all around
right,
the place.
Okay.
So there was three of us and we sang on top of different buildings in Ballarat and we sang down to the street and it was this sort of call to, it was like a call to prayer but not really. Yeah, so I've done all sorts of weird and wacky things over the years. It's great. I love it so much.
What is a noise core project?
That's really improvised, and that's sort of can be quite abrasive, but it can be quite melodic as well. So when I was in a noise core group called El Politico Incorrecto in Ballarat, and I actually didn't sing in that. It was violin and trumpet that I played in that. So it was purely improvised, people doing all sorts of things, lots of screaming and shouting.
Hence the noise.
Yes, that's right.
So where does the core come into it?
I suppose, why is it called noise core? I suppose it's just because noise is at the core of the music. I don't even know whether you necessarily always call it music. It's just an experimentation of sound. And so there's, you know, it's lots of feedback and things like that as well.
I haven't done that
for a little while, but yeah.
I'd never heard of that term before.
Oh, right.
It attracted me greatly when I see something that I've no idea.
It's definitely something that has come from the idea of jazz, though. But it can be a bit more aggressive than jazz and less melodic.
Does that mean people who don't have an ability or believe they don't have an ability to sing in tune can participate?
Great opportunity for that.
Oh. I might suggest that to a few people. Now, back in 2016, 2 years ago, you released your jazz album called Indigo.
Yes.
Why Indigo?
I didn't know exactly what to call the album, and I didn't want it to be really cliche and, you know, like
the Great American
Page
Songbook.
Sings jazz or, you know, so I wanted to choose something a little bit more obscure. And the album was really created as something to sell, but also something to sell myself to venues and things. So I wanted it to show the diversity of what I can do. So there's Latin and swing and blues and contemporary tunes, and there's some, like Tom Waits and Twisted by, Joni Mitchell sort of take on Twisted, kind of.
It is a beautiful selection.
Yes. So the first song on the album, though, was Mood Indigo. And I thought that within that song itself, it actually demonstrated a little bit of my going outside of the square a little bit. We kind of did a New Orleans version of Mood Indigo. And so I dropped the mood and just kept the indigo and thought that was sort of hinted at, you know, maybe a little bit unexpected and sparked a bit of a question in the person who might listen to the album. Why is this called Indigo?
As it has for me. And now I know.
Yes.
You've also released an album of your own compositions.
Yeah, so
that's not a jazz
genre?
No,
it's what you probably call indie, I suppose, and I still do that. So I actually have a band called Paige and the Vinleys, which we've got a gig this coming week in Ballarat. And so that's all my original stuff. Well, it's at the Ballarat Backyard Tasters, which is a free event in Alfred Deakin Place behind the art gallery. It's a fantastic event. Everything that's there has to be connected to Ballarat somehow, so the performers are like from Ballarat, studied Ballarat, work in Ballarat, and so I'm doing one of the slots there. Adam Simmons is actually on after us because he's a Ballarat boy.
I've had a chat to Adam in the recent past.
Yes. Mm. So he's one of Ballarat's great exports. And before me is some more jazz, which is Michael Westlake and Georgie Williams. And they're another Ballarat jazz duo that do really great improvised stuff. But I'm not doing jazz that night, funnily enough.
Doing something else.
Yes.
Do you write jazz?
Yeah, I suppose what you call the music that I often write these days is jazz-esque. It's not sort of what you might imagine of like jazz standards or, you know, ballads and stuff. It's far more improvised or experimental or...
It's, again, stepping out on that risky table.
Yes, and so often what I do is I lay down, like I write as I record sometimes. So I'll lay down some sort of riff or something I've written, and then I will improvise a song over the top melodically so it can... It's not always predictable, my melodies and things like that. So it's definitely jazz, but it's not like this jazz that I've been singing this evening.
It's not straight up and down jazz.
No, it's still fun.
But still a lot of fun.
Yes.
Sounds like it indeed. Now you're performing for the first time at Dizzy's.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Saturday, March the 3rd, so that's two weeks' time.
Yes.
What does it mean to you as a Ballarat-based vocalist to be performing down here in Melbourne?
I don't know whether it's just because I'm Ballarat-based or, you know, just me, you know, as an individual or something, but it does mean a lot to me to get gigs in Melbourne. I get quite a few gigs in Ballarat because I get to monopolise Ballarat-Dowsford a little bit because there's not a lot of jazz singers down there. You know, when I first started getting the odd Paris Cat gig, I was like, wow, this is so awesome. And now to be doing Dizzy's, it's just another one under my belt that makes me feel a little bit validated, I suppose, and it helps me just expand, you know, outside of Ballarat. Ballarat has such a great arts community, but it can be a little bit isolating at the same time. So, you know, it's helped me connect with people like Craig and...
Well, it's a nice space down at Dizzy's up there on the second floor.
Yes, I'm very excited.
What can we expect?
So I'm bringing my Ballarat band up, or down, I should say, and we're doing a real mix, so a bit like my album, I suppose, where there'll be mostly jazz standards, so there'll be swing, there'll be ballads, but there'll also be some contemporary songs that we've jazzified, so I won't give it all away, but... Yes, it will be eclectic, but yet still a uniform selection of songs.
A great night's entertainment by the sound of it.
Yes, and I'm bringing what is it, a quintet this time. So I've got a saxophone player from Dowsford as well coming along. They're all great musicians. Lots of them play in Melbourne as it is. Like, just for example, the bassist Barry Deenick, he's quite well known. He plays with Buster Mento and Nicky Bomber's stuff and the Melbourne Ska Union. He's the bassist in that, for example, really roots-based bassist.
Excellent. You better mention the other members.
Oh, so there's Wayne Parker on guitar, and there is Michael Evans Barker on drums, and then Mick Timke on saxophone.
They've all got their names over the air now. We expect to hear them do very, very well.
I'm sure they will.
Paige, this is Jazz Club, Saturday the March the 3rd this year, 2018, 2 weeks' time, level 2 at 368 Bridge Road, Richmond. That's above the Boheme Restaurant. So lots of good food there as well. 8:30 p.m. and tickets can be booked from the Dizzy's website, dizzys.com.au.
Yes, I think you can also, if you're a Facebook person, go to the Facebook event via Dizzy's or my page and can book your tickets via there as well.
Fantastic. Paige, thank you so much for visiting Bent Notes.
My pleasure.
While I'm in the studio tonight, I really appreciated that. And sharing with us some of your music, and a big thank you, of course, to Craig over here for coming in and accompanying you live in studio. Can we perhaps get one more piece out of you?
Sure.
That would be great to hear. My special guest on Bent Notes tonight has been Ballarat-based jazz vocalist Paige Duggan. Paige, what have you got to give us to us just before you leave studio?
God Bless the Child.
Oh, fantastic.
So unrehearsed, but, you know, that's jazz for you.
That's the risk that sits around with jazz, doesn't it? Paige Duggan and Craig Vermanis.
Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. The strong gets more, while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't ever make the grade. Mama may have, Papa he has, so God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Money, you've got lots of friends.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.